Verse number 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, everybody there say amen. Amen. Brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not as others which have no hope. Now I want you to look at that, no hope. That ye sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Hey, how can he bring them with him if they're not with him? Don't buy in this stuff that they're sleeping in the grave and they're not with God. He said to be absent in the body is present with the Lord. Paul said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. They're with the Lord. And God is going to bring those souls and spirits of the saved back with him at this resurrection time here of the saints of God. Verse 15 says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, we're not going to go out before them. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I want you to look at two words in there, hope and comfort. Hope and comfort. I want to preach today on the second coming of Jesus Christ in providing hope and comfort to our lives. It's amazing, terrible thing living in a country where kids walk in, shoot 17 kids, classmates of theirs. All kinds of craziness all across this country. People just, I mean, a guy walked up to the White House yesterday outside the fence, shot himself and killed himself. And there's just constantly, a boy walked into a university this week and shot his own mom and dad in a university up there. And it's just nonstop. And we're almost getting desensitized to the violence. Now, let me tell you something. God said that before Jesus Christ comes back the second time, that it would be as it was in the days of Noah. And the Bible said that the earth was filled with violence. Okay? Now the Bible also said it's the days it was of Lot as being the coming of the Lord. And the days of Lot was days of Sodom. Sodomy was sweeping across, had swept and taken over whole cities. In fact, it had taken over the whole Dead Sea Valley, what we call the Dead Sea Valley, the Jordan River Valley, had taken over all those cities, and the Sodomites were literally in charge of all the towns. And you and I are living in it. I don't like living in it. I don't like living in it. I want a revival I can. But history repeats itself. And also, if you look at the nation of Rome, the nation of Greece, we're following the exact same pattern that they followed. And it's just going downhill. Now, I don't know all what's going to happen about everything that happened. I know this, that I can still live a happy, contented, joyful, victorious life in Jesus Christ till he comes. All right? And here's the way I live. Here's kind of how I live. I got one eye on this life, and I've got one eye on the sky. That's the way I live. All right? I got one eye on this world. I'm living here day by day. I got to get up. I got to go. And I'm glad. I'm happy. I'm having the biggest time of my life. I'm enjoying life more probably right now than I've enjoyed it in my life. I'm having a blast. Grandkids are a blast. Should have had them first. That's old, isn't it? Anyway. But I'm telling you something. We're living in perilous times. This family right here got all these kids. Man, you think so some days about raising these kids in this time. I'm sure you put a lot of thought into it. I want to tell you something right now. If there's ever a time when Christian mom and daddies ought to be dead serious about raising their kids for God, it is now. Amen. Because there's no telling what your kid's going to see. There's no telling what your kid's going to see. And they're going to have to be rooted and grounded in the faith in such a way, folks, that it doesn't shake them. And I'm going to tell you one of the things that doesn't will cause a person not to be shaken, and that is the knowledge and the reality that this thing has an end. And it's going to end with victory in Jesus Christ and his coming in the Lord. That will give you hope. That will give you comfort in these days when you open up the newspaper or open up on Facebook or open wherever you watch your news or see news. And it's just nothing but blood, guts, tragedy, sorrow, pain, and just like hell on earth. That'll give you comfort and hope in knowing that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And he is coming back. You know, I mean, there's just times, Ralph, when I want to run back and be real young so I can try to run with my boys and do all this stuff. And then there's times I'm like, man, alive, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I got one eye in this, you know, like that. And it's not that I've got one foot in the world. I have to live here. But I tell you, I'm looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this passage of Scripture is a passage that a lot of people talk about the rapture. Now, somebody says, well, Reggie, the word rapture is not in the Bible. That's right. The word Trinity is not in the Bible either, but it's a Bible doctrine, right? Okay, but rapture is a wonderful word. Rapture is a wonderful, wonderful word to describe this event. Because it is, when you think about rapture, you're thinking about glory, you're thinking about wonder, you're thinking about blessing, you're thinking about happiness and joy and the thrill of it. And I'm telling you something, I know what that's like. I watched it one time. I married a girl who had six brothers. And all that poor girl did was fix meals and wash and clothes, sock and fold socks for six brothers. And she was toiling away at that house one day, and I swept in. And I started to pick her up and I fell. No, I've always kidded her that I rescued her from a life of drudgery and pain and sorrow. Now she does socks for all of us and all that, okay? But you know something, there's a picture there. How many knows in the Bible, in Ephesians chapter 5, that the church is compared as the bride and Christ is the bridegroom? And I'm telling you, this passage of scripture is a picture of the bride coming down and swooping the bride up. The bridegroom, I'm sorry, keep me straight, all right? The bridegroom coming down and catching away his bride to glory. And it's one of the most beautiful things. That's why I ask you this one. How many of you men carried your bride across the threshold when you got married? Raise your hand. Would you please do that? All right. Okay, all right. We did that now. Anyway, I have one possible volunteer if I can't get anybody else. Anybody want to be on sweeping up the bride? Glenn Beller. Glenn, do you want to sweep up the bride? Y'all see his face right now. Okay, we may not do this. This may not work out real good because I'd hate to see somebody drop their wife right in front of the whole congregation. I don't know. We'll see about it, all right? Hey, does anybody want to do it? Anybody want to do it? Who wants to do it? Jeremy, you want to do it? Zachary, you want to do it? Jamie, you want to do it? Nobody wants to do it. Karen, I guess it's up to... her eyes is going, I will kill you if you do this. I will shoot you dead. But you know something, to be honest about it, I think most young girls dream about a guy coming someday and sweeping them off their feet. In a sense, you can say, oh, I don't think like that. Well, yo, Jezebel, just be that way. You know what I mean? They're looking for that guy. Isn't that amazing how God has made that? That the young lady looks for some guy who comes, you know, and sweeps her off her feet and takes her to his house. And she takes his name. It's there, amen? It's there. And so that's what we got. Well, we're talking about the rapture, the coming of the bride. Now, the Bible calls it in Titus chapter 3, the blessed hope. The blessed hope. Now, the coming of Jesus Christ into it. Now, let's just do something here real quick this morning. Real quick. I can see this already. Let's just say that this is Genesis, Garden of Eden, creation of man, okay? And so we're going through time here. We're going through time. We come to the end of the Old Testament, all right? And here's the cross of Calvary. Here's the cross. And Jesus came, died on the cross for our sins, his first coming, and was buried and rose again, went back to heaven, okay? And then we have the time from the cross till now, right in here, okay? And we're approaching the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, this pulpit, we're going to aptly name it the tribulation period, okay? Pulpit, that'll be the tribulation period. Huh? But we've got this time from the cross till Christ comes. Now, the bride of Christ being formed and so forth. And so then you have the rapture of the church right here. So the second coming of Jesus Christ, we're talking about second coming, is in actually two phases. And it's amazing because the first coming, in the sense of his coming, is not, he doesn't come to the earth. You read this past scripture, we meet him in the air. The second coming is very clear, both Old Testament and New Testament, that his feet come at the end of the tribulation and his feet touch Mount Olives. He comes back to the earth, not to take a bride out, but to conquer. And that's what I'm going to preach on next week. I'm going to preach on 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 next week about the second coming of Jesus Christ back to this earth. His feet will touch Mount Olives. Mount Olives will cleave. He will destroy them with the brightness of his coming. He will rule and reign in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. By the way, can I tell you something? This is wild. You know what? If you looked at marriage biblically, you have an espousal. Somebody back here talking about the espousal. You had the espousing, okay? How many thinks Christ is going to cut out on us? No, not hardly. He purchased us with his own blood. Amen? All right, now, so we're espoused to him. We've taken his name already. We've taken his name already. And he comes to get the bride. Now, guess what we're doing? It's going to marriage supper of the Lamb and the judgment seat. Now, I'm going to throw something at you. And don't get too theological on me this morning, but the only place in the Bible that it honestly, if you check it out, gives reason for divorce or putting away a woman was if she came to the marriage bed and she wasn't pure. And he could put her away. If you know your Bible. We've been studying about that Wednesday night. So if you're not here Wednesday night, I'm sorry. Can't have been studying. Now, so he could put it away. But you know what? Christ comes. He takes the church out. So we have the wedding marriage, okay? And then we have the judgment seat, all right? And by the way, you know why we're going to be pure? You know why the bride's going to be pure? Because he made us pure. Because we have his righteousness. All right. So now you have the tribulation. That's Reggie preaching. And okay. Now at the end of the tribulation, Christ comes back to the earth. But watch this. All enemies are destroyed and there's a 1,000-year honeymoon with the bride of Christ. It's all there. There's a reason your forefathers did stuff like they did it. They were doing stuff biblically. They knew more than you think they knew. Their customs and traditions and stuff. Many, Jesus never said traditions were bad unless they're unscriptural or they're used unscripturally. And so you have this 1,000-year honeymoon and then eternity. All right. So that's a picture of marriage. We have in the Old Testament, there's pictures of this Old Testament. Enoch was taken out before the flood, which is a picture of the tribulation. Enoch was taken out before the flood, which is a picture of the tribulation. And he wound up, and then you have Noah, a picture of the Jewish people coming out on a new world, and that's, you read Revelation 21, 22. Lot, watch this, was taken out before the destruction of Sodom. And also we gave you here a while back the order of the books. Ezra is the picture of Israel returning. Nehemiah, the rebuilding. Esther, the rapture. So I want to preach on Esther this year if I can. And then Job is a picture of the tribulation, 42 months, the great tribulation. And then there's Psalms is a picture of the kingdom. And we know, I hope you've gotten that in the past. But again, it's the analogy of the husband being picked. The husband picking up the wife is what this rapture is. So, just Jesus said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Folks, it's 11:44. I'm going to tear out the anything between, and I'm going to try to give you this quite fast as I can. The first thing I want to say about the rapture of the church that blesses me, the one reason I want to preach this morning, is the first thing you see in this is the reappearing of Christ. Christ left, and he's going to reappear. But the reappearing has something about it. It says, look at your Bible. It says there in verse 16, "For the Lord himself." There's some one main theme I want to get in this, because I know you know about the rapture and I know you know about the tribulation, all those things. But there's an attraction to Christ reappearing. You know what that is? The Lord himself. I want you to think about this with me. What I see going on in America right now is a focus on the Antichrist. A focus on the tribulation. A focus on anything. Can I tell you something? If I had been gone on an airplane trip, now you watch this. I've been gone for whatever length of time, and I'm coming down to Springfield Airport, and that plane lands, and I get off that plane, and Karen comes out, and she's saying, "Oh, that's a wonderful plane you were riding. What about the pilot? Was the food good on the plane, Reggie?" And I'm waiting for a kiss and a hug. Now, I'm going to tell you something I see going on in this country. I'm telling you, watch what I'm telling you. There's something bad going on. There's a focus on the Antichrist. We're going to go through tribulation. Watch out, watch out! Who do you reckon it is? I think I got it figured out. And there's this focus, and it makes me sick. It's all focused on the Antichrist. I'm going to tell you about the true bride. They're looking for him. I get off that plane. I don't want her going, "Wow, well, it's a neat plane. What was the pilot like?" She has no interest in me coming. There's a problem there. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, "Something wrong. bride don't want to see her husband? This is the point of my whole message today, really. There is a focus on the Antichrist, on the tribulation. Now, I know most of you guys put your wife through the tribulation, but Christ didn't put his wife through the tribulation. Amen. That's exactly right. And I'm just telling you something this morning. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. The Lord himself. You know what the Bible said? Those who love his appearing. It didn't say those who love the Antichrist. It didn't say those who love the tribulation period. It said those who love his appearing. In fact, the Bible said he's coming for those that are looking for him. I don't want Karen studying out of 747. I want her to kiss me on the lips. I want her to throw her arms around me and say, Reggie, I'm so glad to see you. And I'm going to tell you something about a saved man, a saved woman. They're not wrapping their arms around a bunch of Antichrist, tribulational bunch of junk. You say, well, it's in the Bible. Yeah, it is. But I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. What he said, see, the Thessalonian believers were having some problems. They were being told a bunch of junk. And you know what happened to them? It was stealing, watch this, it was stealing their joy and it was stealing their comfort. You tell me what I say? And you know what happens to you when you get your joy stole and your comfort stole? And I'll tell you what, we've got a bunch of preachers in this country who are just all the time trying to mystify everybody. Boogity, boogity, boogity. Boogity, boogity, boogity. Instead of bringing the people of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you're sitting in this church house this morning and you're lost without God or you're unsaved, yeah, you ought to be boogity, boogity, boogity. But if you're saved, and that's what I'm preaching about this morning, because he wrote this to save people. He said hope. And you know what hope is? Hope's not just wishing. Hope's the well-founded, well-grounded knowing that what God says he'll do, he'll do. And if he said, I'm coming back in the air, and he said, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. There's that word caught up is where they get the word rapture from. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture of the bride being taken out, rescued, delivered, and into the arms of the one she loves the most, the one she wants to spend eternity with. That's the picture. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. I want this church, I don't want you to have to take pills to get comfort. Let me tell you a little something. When your wife leaves you, or your kids go off the deep end, or you went broke as flatter and flitter, and you went worse than broke, and you got more bills coming in you know how to take care of, and I know that nobody wants that, and I know that we like to have things, try to take care of them, but I'm telling you something, life can be rough and tough. And if you're not careful right now, all the garbage that's going on in the world, you can just get to where there's no comfort and there's no hope. And do you know why people do things like you take their own life? Because they don't have no hope left. It's all gone. They're having comfort left. And I know I've totally blown this message out of the water. I promise you. I'm going to dismiss here in just a little bit. But I promise you, if you want comfort, you know what that says the last thing? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Don't scare one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. I want to comfort this congregation today. I don't know what's going to happen in America. I wish God would give us a reprise, a space of repentance, and turn the nation around. But I really, there's something inside me. You know, I just, according to biblical prophecy and stuff, it'd be a miracle of God. That's all I know. I wished it would. What I do look for is more balkanization in America, more tribalization. Let me tell you what's going on, folks. This nation is divided as it was in the Civil War. This nation is becoming tribalized. And let me tell you about the tribalization. Already in Minnesota, Wisconsin, even some parts of Texas, we have cities that are being insulated in the Muslim sectors where the police can't even go in. They're setting up their own laws, their Sharia law, all their stuff, and nobody can come in. And they tell women how they can dress. They tell men how they can dress. Everybody's what you do. That's called tribalization within the nation. Always before, listen to me tight, always before we assimilated people and you became Americans. Not happening now. And the liberals don't want it to happen. What they're doing is accentuating your culture. You bring your culture. I wouldn't give you a dime for any culture in the world I know of outside America. If you think their culture is so hot, you go. Go live in their culture if you think it's so hot. Let me tell you, the culture I like is an American Constitution, Christian culture, conservative culture that gave us the greatest freedom and the greatest prosperity in the face of this earth. And I don't care if you like that or don't like it, it's the truth. And I want to tell you something. I came over here, I am not Irish American. I'm not German American. I'm an American. And I want to tell you something, what's happening? We're seeing this stuff. These groups are all coming in and they're colonizing. They're not assimilating in the country. And that's going to cause tribalism in this country. Study the nation of Rome. Rome became tribalized. I'm telling you. And that started inner civil wars, sometimes several at a time. And this country's shaken. And everything you're looking at, I'm telling you something, right? This country is so far in debt. Can I tell you something? It is not going to get out of debt. No way. They're printing money so fast, make your head swim. While you're sitting here in church, money's being printed. And the more money they print, the less your dollar's worth. And somewhere, someday, sometime, the piper's going to have to get paid. The fiddler's going to have to get paid. Somebody's going to reach out one day, and I don't understand all the world economics, but someday somebody's going to reach out and say it's time for this to be paid. And they're going to bring America to its knees. And let me tell you something, what's going to happen. You're going to go down here to Walmart, and there ain't going to be nothing on the shelf. Because there ain't no money to pay nobody to bring no trains and no trucks and no nothing else. Now, I'm not trying to paint a scary, bad picture. I'm just saying simply to you, if America falls and probably will fall, that's not the tribulation period. That's happened to countries after countries after countries after countries. But we're so stinking spoiled, we think that the milkman doesn't show up. The tribulation period started. Makes me sick. Guy tried to tell me a while back tribulation is already going on. I said, well, where's the blood in the rivers and the oceans? Where's the third part of the earth burned up? Where's the beast out of hell? Nonsense. What I'm saying to you, that parents and family in this church, I want to comfort you with something. Our God is able to supply our needs according to his riches and glory. There's never going to be a time in your life of what your God, if you have to die for your faith, God will give you the grace to die for your faith. God can give you comfort if you're facing a firing squad. Did you know that? There are people who, I mean, literally their dying testimony was looking up to the Lord and blessing the name of the Lord. God gave them grace. I don't want that to happen to anybody. But I'm saying, listen, there's no point in you being all, because I'm going to tell you something, he's probably going to get worse. And I want you to know something. Our Lord's coming. I don't know when he's coming, but he's coming. And I've got solid hope. Well, Phil, I may be walking across my yard one day to go out to get on the tractor and feed them cattle, and all of a sudden, boom, I'm out of here. The trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And I'm going to see my daddy. And I'm going to see a man alive. I could just rip off so many names of people I'm looking forward to seeing. Well, Jeremy, you just think about CNLT. Won't that be a hit? You talking about that deal. I told the Lord the other day, I said, you tell LT, get the gig sharpened up, because we're going to go out in the river alive and gig fish when we get up. Some of you don't even know what gigging is, but anyway. The dead in Christ shall be right. We will lie and remain, be caught up together, meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we, watch this, ever be with the Lord. You want comfort? You want hope? I enjoy life. I hope you do. The truth about it is, kind of a mess. Kind of rough. You know, I mean, there's no hope in this world, is there? Oh, listen, I've been dealing with so many people that's got cancer. I never seen like in my life. 50-year-old lady this week used to come here when she was young. They told her she has no, I mean, unless God intervenes, it's over with. It opened her up. She's ate up with cancer. And you know, it's just, you know, people that, you know, the people are having a hard time here and they're having a hard time here and it's rough there and so forth. And you just, you know, you think, my goodness, oh Lord. So I just want to tell you, I hope you leave the church today this way. Hope you leave comforted. Say, Lord, you know what? Don't care how bad it gets, you're coming. I hope you leave here with hope. God don't lie. If he said he's coming, he's coming. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. A moment, twinkling of an eye. Now the question is this, are you ready for his coming? Are you ready for his coming? I wanted to give you something. You give me a man or woman that's focused like they ought to be biblically on the second coming of Christ, I'll show you somebody's got stuff straightened up. I'll show you somebody that don't fall into sin near as bad. I'll show you we getting this bride thing again. You show me a bride that's really looking forward to her husband swooping her up. She's getting some things ready. She's getting some things ready. I promise you, you walk into her bedroom, buddy, the clothes are being packed. They're being ready to go. She's getting all the her little stuff that she had. She's getting ready to move out into her bridegroom's home. And that's what will happen to the child of God when they have the right perspective. There'll be a comfort knowing it ain't always going to be like this. Won't always be cancer. There won't always be death. There won't always be pain. There won't always be disappointment. My Lord's coming someday. And boy, I now have that hope. And you know what you do? You're walking down the street and somebody says, what you so happy about? What you so comforted about? Why ain't you all tore up? Say, I have hope. I have comfort. He's coming. I hope this helped you today.